Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, I'm so excited to have my friend on the podcast. Realtor, YouTuber, growth ambassador, podcaster, and father from Real Broker. I've got Malcolm Lawson on the pod. Y'all, welcome, Malcolm.
Hey, Jamie, excited to be here, man. I had a great conversation when I finally got to meet you in person last week at the Rise Conference. Love masterminding with you about social media. And man, excited to talk to you and see where this conversation goes.
Absolutely, man. So I know you do a ton of different things, and I could have gone on and on with that introduction. So we're going to get to some really good stuff today. I want to start with your backstory. So I want to start with how you got into the real estate business, maybe expand on how you got into the YouTube space, and tell us about the family and go there for us for a minute.
Yeah, man. So I'd say my story really starts when I was in the Air Force for 11 years. And when I was in there, that's when I started my very first YouTube channel. So this is over a decade ago. It's an outdoor camping channel. And that YouTube channel is now up to 200,000 subscribers. At one point, I was making as much as $10,000 a month off of that YouTube channel. And I consider myself a full-time YouTuber at one point on that channel. But I started that when I was in the military. My last assignment, I worked at the White House for 4 years, got to travel around the world with the president. While I was there, I had my son, and he is unfortunately born with very severe intellectual disabilities and autism and special needs. And so that's really what the catalyst was for me to get out of the military. And I became a real estate agent just so I have a super flexible schedule. I can be there and help out more with my son. And so I got my license in 2016, and at that point, I already had like a growing, successful YouTube channel. And I was thinking to myself, okay, there's got to be a way to be able to use YouTube to generate leads for real estate. I must be able to combine these two things. And there really wasn't many other people exploring and experimenting YouTube at that time. And so 2016, 17, 18, you know, these are the years where I was really experimenting. And as one of the very first agents out there who really figure out how to leverage YouTube, how to start generating leads for my real estate business from YouTube. And so very early on, like that, I had a lot of success with that. Probably my best year was 2020. I did very well all from YouTube. And at some point I had my divorce was in 2021. I then found myself as a single father to a special needs kid. And kind of during that period is when I started pursuing YouTube full time. And I actually became a full time YouTuber. I started doubling down on this outdoor camping channel I had, got my income up to $10,000 a month just from YouTube ads and the affiliate marketing. For me, I actually just got burnt out from doing that, though. You hear this often that YouTubers get burnt out. It's a very real thing. I was filming videos in my basement, editing them on my couch, never leaving my house. And I was like, okay, I need a community. I need to network. I need people. And that's actually when I joined Real Broker. And I started creating a brand new YouTube channel all about Real. I started using that for agent attraction. And now I've been doing that for 5 years. I love being here at Real. I love the community, the support that we have. And I now make a full-time income from that YouTube channel. You know, the ironic thing is that channel is only 3,000 subscribers. My biggest channel is 200,000 subscribers, but I make way more money from those 3,000 subscribers than I ever did from my bigger 200,000 subscribers. That's a summary of like my journey from start to beginning to where I'm at now. And so I've had a lot of different YouTube channels and a lot of different marketing strategies and ways to monetize those channels over the years.
Yeah, man. I love that. I love that journey. That's so awesome. And I love that you're able to spend a little bit more time with your son. And I know that's important to you and how you've set this whole thing up. So that's a big thing that I think all realtors want right at the end of the day is they want freedom. They want freedom of time. They want freedom of location. They want freedom to just run the business the way that they want to run it. And that's been really cool. And I've been able to see that even in my journey in the beginning of the journey is the possibilities of the freedom that being at the company provides. So a lot of our people are realtors who maybe they have a little bit of interest in YouTube. So talk to us a little bit about maybe if you were new or you're interested in putting out some content on YouTube, what might you do if you're a realtor there who's just interested in YouTube? Maybe they're not interested in having a several hundred thousand subscriber channel, but maybe they're interested in just getting a little bit of leads from YouTube. Where would you start if you're an agent that says, hey, YouTube, I see it as a value. Where would you start?
Yeah, the first place I would start is actually researching other channels. It is amazing how much you can learn just by studying other channels. So at this point, you know, 2025, there are thousands of agents who have successful YouTube channels that are generating them leads. And there's several different like models that are working for agents. And so I'd find somebody that's maybe in a different market and be like, I want to emulate this person's success in their YouTube channel. So maybe that's Brad McCallum up in Calgary, Canada. Maybe it's Jeremy Knight in Austin, Texas. Maybe it's Dan Parker in San Francisco. Like, find a channel and be like, okay, I want to recreate this, but in my market, and start studying that channel. There's a couple of things that I want you to study. First off, I want you to go to that channel and filter it by most popular videos and just look at what the topics of those videos are. What's working for his channel? Recreate those same videos, but for your market. I also want you to study the thumbnail images that they're using, the titles that they're using. Literally, like, write this down. Make a Word document studying the channels that you want to emulate. And if you really want to get serious, like, do this for 2-3 channels and save images of their thumbnails into this Word document. And this is going to get you like so far ahead of everybody else. Like, just doing this research, seeing what works, and then start emulating that in your own market. And then my second piece of advice would be to just start. So many people get analysis paralysis, right? This is a very real thing where they get stuck in this like studying mode and they never actually take action. And the truth is, if you're new to YouTube, your first 10 YouTube videos are not going to be good. Like, just to set that expectation, but you need to get through those first videos in order to get to the really good videos. And so at this point, I've probably created well over 1,000 YouTube videos. And like, I'm comfortable on camera. I know how to light myself, how to frame myself, how to edit. My tonality, my pacing is developed. And these are all things that you just develop with time, with experience. And so you really do just need to start. You could always recreate those early videos or delete them later on, but just start, just experiment. And just know that like, the first 10 videos are not going to be great, but you need to get through those 10 videos before you start getting to the good ones.
Isn't there something about YouTube as well where you really need to focus on consistency with your posting of videos as well versus getting all excited and shooting one video? You need to have a plan for how many videos that you're going to be launching. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I say like consistency is important, but I also do think that it's a little overrated, to be honest. And like, a lot of YouTube gurus preach consistency. I say this because I used to have a course teaching agents how to use YouTube. I used to do consultations with agents, and I've seen so many agents that were consistent, but they were also doing the wrong thing. And so they were consistently doing the wrong thing for a year, 2 years, and it still wasn't working for them. So like that consistency, I would add a caveat of be consistent and try to get 1% better with every video. Constantly analyze your videos, constantly try to improve and get better, and look at every video as like a training ground and a training experiment, and your next video should be better. So consistency is important because it gives you more experience and more swings at the bat, but just make sure that you constantly are growing. Even now in my own videos, I'm still trying to level up. Every video that I do, I try to improve my thumbnails. I try to create multiple thumbnails, A/B test. Now I'm working on my background, working on my presentation, on my hooks, all this stuff. I am still trying to grow and improve every video that I do. And like, that's a really important thing to consider when it comes to YouTube, is you have to continuously grow and improve.
And the one thing I like about YouTube is it creates this super client for you. It creates this person that's watched hours of your content that feels like super deeply connected to you, which I think that in this day and age, when it comes to attention spans and everything on Instagram and TikTok and 30 seconds at a time and 60 seconds at a time, you really don't get to know anybody on some of these other platforms where you've got the Instagrams and the TikToks of the world. And it's tougher to build value and build these super clients. But I've had other friends who are in the YouTube space, and they're like, man, like when I finally get on a Zoom call with these people, they are dialed in. They won't work with anybody in the world other than me. So I love that about YouTube, is it creates this like super, super fan, the super client. I mean, you've even seen it at Rise. You know, you and I were hanging out and people were turning us around and taking pictures with us and, you know, all these other things. And it's created this super fan of Malcolm when you're just a guy putting out great value. You're just a guy putting out some interesting things about Real. And all of a sudden you've created all these super fans of what you're doing.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy.
YouTube more than any other platform, like really builds like deep connections with people. And Sharon Shavas introduced me to this concept of time on brand. And what he said is that he's analyzed his social media and he needs on average 23 minutes time on brand before he gets a conversion. Now that can be 46 30-second Instagram clips, or 23 minutes could literally be One YouTube video. If somebody spends 23 minutes with you and you're providing them value, 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 they're seeing your facial expressions, your mannerisms, your hand gestures, they're hearing your tonality, they're in their brain, they're subconsciously building a relationship with you before you've ever even talked to them. And so this concept of time on brand, like I love this, and I think it really does help justify why I think that YouTube is more powerful than a lot of the other social media platforms where they're seeing a 30-second, 40-second clip of you, and then maybe they don't see you again for a while. One thing that I've noticed is that every time I talk to either a real estate client or a real estate agent and they bring up YouTube, they tell me, like, dude, I've watched all of your videos. I'm very confident that most people that reach out to me have watched multiple videos of mine. So before I ever even meet them, subconsciously, they feel like they've had hours of conversation with me. And it just builds that relationship automatically before I even have a conversation with them. There's really nothing else like that out there.
Yeah, I agree. And it's tough too, because Instagram is tough. It's like, you know, you feel like you want to do the silly thing to get the views, or you feel like you want to do the silly hook to get the thing. And then you question yourself of like, did it even add value?
Yeah.
You know, those silly dancing videos. Yeah, you could get on TikTok or wherever and do a little silly dance. But the question is, did it even add any value to the people that you're wanting to do business with? And that's the part that, like, I think a lot of agents get wrong, is they want to try to be some influencer and they want to try to do the silly thing. But then they're putting themselves out there doing the silly dance, doing the silly thing. And then their clients are looking at this and like, what are they doing, man? Like, do I even want to list my house with this person? Like, they're just dancing around like a fool. And like, I just need somebody to help me sell my house. Instead of building a bridge, it can maybe tear the bridge down just by trying to get in front of and as many people. And look, I'm a big fan. I don't take myself too seriously. I'm not the most serious guy in the world. I feel like I'm more lighthearted. But man, I think some of these realtors, what they're doing and what they're putting out, I'm like, I look at some of this content, I'm like, y'all, what happened to our elevation of ourselves as top tier professionals who are wearing suits and ties every day? You know, it just feel like a lot of that's kind of like, professionalism has almost fallen off of a cliff over the last couple of years when it's come to Instagram and TikTok and all these silly things. You got people twerking in videos trying to get followers. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
I'll give you my take on Instagram versus YouTube and like kind of what the roles are with those two platforms. YouTube is the best for discoverability. It's the best platform for you to get in front of your target avatar. And that avatar has a much higher like user intent, as in they're further down the rabbit hole. They're interested in buying a home in your neighborhood. And it's harder to get discovered on Instagram, in my opinion. So some people may disagree with me on this, but to get in front of motivated buyers and sellers in your market on Instagram, I feel like it's a lot harder. There's ways, there are some tactics, but for most real estate agents, Instagram is almost like a closed loop. Like, people don't really discover you from Instagram. They discover you somewhere else. They know you in person, they discover you on YouTube, and then they follow you on Instagram. And so it's more of a database is how I use it. I like looking at Instagram and Facebook as a database. And instead of touching people with texts and emails, you touch them with content. And like, that's where that the sort of viral stuff comes in. It's just a way to just to stay in front of an audience. But I don't think it's the best platform for building a hyper-local, high-intent audience. I feel like YouTube is still the best platform for that, in my opinion. And like, that may be a controversial statement. There's going to be people that disagree with that. But I'm just a bigger advocate of YouTube over Instagram. And I still use Instagram to some degree, but I don't think anybody's ever really discovers me on Instagram. They discover me on YouTube, and then they follow me on Instagram to get a little bit more glimpse into my personal life. And here's the challenge. YouTube is the only social media platform without a direct messaging feature, you know?
Yeah.
And so there is like a little bit of a sales funnel there where they find me on YouTube, and then they follow me on Instagram, and then they can send me a message on Instagram. For real estate agents, I think you should have a presence on Instagram, but most of your focus should be on YouTube. This is the best platform to get in front of your target audience and the higher intent of that audience as well.
So I was at this conference over in Baton Rouge, and I'm, you know, looking at all these realtor social medias and the top panels and everything else. And I'm looking at some of these top realtors, and you know, a lot of the top realtors in many towns, they may not have 30,000 followers on Instagram. You know, the top ones might only have 1,100 followers on Instagram, you know, and they're not super, super active. So it's kind of like, do all of these agents who have all these big followings, do they actually convert that following into opportunities in business? It doesn't always equate, I guess, when it comes to Instagram. And the same thing with you and other YouTubers that I know. Some of them have amazing YouTube channels and they generate millions of dollars in production for themselves every year. But you go on their Instagram, you're like, 1,500 followers. So it doesn't always equate. But yet I would take their YouTube channel much more than I would take, you know, that Instagram channel.
Yeah. I think like Instagram isn't necessary. Like most top producers, if you deleted their Instagram, it would barely affect their production. And that's a very controversial thing to say in our
industry.
There's so much focus on like short form content and Instagram. I know people that create content for consumers on Instagram and they have 30, 40,000 followers and generate almost no leads from that. And then I know real estate agents with 500 subscribers on YouTube who are making $100,000 a year from leads that they generate off of that YouTube channel. And so it's just the user intent is much higher, I think, and the relationship that you can build is much deeper. You can provide them much more value on YouTube. And I think it's easier to have call to actions as well in YouTube videos. On Instagram, it's kind of hard, a little bit more challenging, I think, to have, you know, call to actions like, hey, go to my website or here's my phone number.
I agree. Well, let's pivot a little bit because I want to jump into the extras that you can do in your real estate business. I basically got into the business about 21 years ago because I wanted to invest in real estate. I wanted to do flips. I wanted to do investment properties. I wanted to do rental properties. I wanted to learn the market because I wanted to create residual income for my family. But now the world is changing. In our area, insurance costs are super high and it's hard to have rentals that cash flow with higher interest rates. Things are a little bit squeezed when it comes to investment properties. And a lot of my rental properties recently, I went on some five-year balloons and they went from 5% interest to 10% interest. And my insurance cost has skyrocketed. I've been recently selling some of my rental properties and stuff like that now because of the high costs that it's costing me per month to hang on to these things. I see the value in residual income as a realtor. And I do believe that all realtors should own real estate. You should get in the game of owning real estate. I heard this yesterday that if you want to be rich, sell a bunch of real estate. If you want to be wealthy, own a bunch of real estate as well. So I think that as a realtor, we should be building something for our families that is residual, that gives us some opportunity, whether that be some sort of ownership in the business that you're working in, but also some sort of revenue of the business that you're building and you're working on. So talk to us a little bit about what you're building over here at Real and how that's impacted your family from a revenue type of standpoint and where you are in that process right now.
Yeah, man. So that's a great question. I think that every serious agent I know, they have some sort of exit strategy out of this business. You know, a lot of people get burnt out from this. They don't want to do it forever. They don't want to be in their 60s, 70s doing this. Some people do, but most people, they want to have some sort of exit strategy. And I've explored several of those. I had a team for a little while there, and I used to get very frustrated that I would generate leads, hand them off to these team members, and they wouldn't call them. They wouldn't call them on time. They wouldn't follow up with them. You know, when you're giving them leads, and it's the most frustrating thing in the world. And I realized, like, I don't really like managing agents.
Yeah.
And so the team model, that is sort of an extra strategy or halfway extra strategy for some people. It's not something that I want to pursue. For a while there, I was also creating content statewide. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to have a team, but I'm going to find top agents and just refer business out to those top agents. And I had a statewide channel where I was making content, generating a lot of leads, handing them off. And I still had a lot of issues with conversion rate. And I was just like, okay, I don't like, you know, those models. Another exit strategy is becoming a coach or selling online courses. And I did that for a while as well. I liked that to some degree, but I kind of got burnt out from it. And then I came over to Real and realized that there's actually another model, another exit strategy, and that is helping agents transition to cloud brokerages. And so I think what we're at right now is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of window where the legacy brokerage model, like, is dying. That model is failing. Tamir Poleg, during his Rise event, pointed out that the average brokerage has either a 0 or a 1% profitability right now. This acquisition of Anywhere revealed that they have over $200 billion in debt. Keller Williams recently sold 51%. Gary Keller sold 51% of Keller Williams. Like, this legacy brokerage franchise model is dying and not sustainable anymore. And this new model of being at a cloud brokerage is emerging, and these companies are profitable and fastly growing. And so there's this opportunity where we can help agents transition from this old model into a new model. It's going to save them money and give them additional streams of income and better technology in most cases. And, like, that opportunity rewards us in the form of revenue share. These companies share their revenue with the agents. And so I started doing this a couple of years ago. Like, when I first joined, I was fully in production in 2021. I was doing 30 transactions a year as a single father to a special needs child. And I started focusing on agent attraction, helping grow Real. And the way I looked at it was every $10,000 that I earned in revenue share was one less transaction I had to do. And that's more time I got to spend with my son. And so in 2021, I did less deals, earned more rev share. 2022, less deals, earned more rev share. 2023, less deals, earned more rev share. And last year, I fully stepped out of production in November 2024. And now I've just gone all in on agent attraction and rev share through content creation. I'm happy to say that, you know, I'm now making $300,000 a year passive income from rev share. And this is now a full-time income for me, and able to completely step out of production. And I just refer out any leads that I get. And so it isn't a get rich quick scheme. You know, it took me about 4 years to fully step out of production. But this is a very real opportunity. If you want to help agents transition from the old business model to this new business model of being a cloud brokerage, there's a huge opportunity for financial freedom and passive income and generational wealth, life-changing wealth that you can earn from this. And right now, I'm all in on this. You know, this is what I want to double down on. And my goal is to try to get this to $500,000 a year. $1 million a year passive income is still on the table. That's still an opportunity. And it really is just a once in a lifetime opportunity. And, like, we're in the right place at the right time if you want to pursue this.
Yeah. No, I love that, man. And I love the angle of it too, where it frees you up for time to be with your family. Cause that, I can tell you, I mean, I don't know, around 50 transactions a year, and I am wiped, man. I mean, I'm looking at admin help. You know, we do have TC help, but it's like, man, you know, it's exhausting to continue to the grind. I've been doing it 21 years. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy being with people, helping them reach their goals. I enjoy all of those things, but I also enjoy helping agents win. I also enjoy the process of giving agents some value and helping them grow their business and helping them do more transactions, because that's what they are looking for in their life right now. But I've seen in my own journey the ability to help agents grow their business, grow in agent attraction as well for myself and my family. And I can tell you, Malcolm, that's been unbelievable for my family, even at the small stages that I'm at. But that's been amazing. So I highly encourage agents to either reach out to either me or Malcolm to, if you're at all curious on like what we're doing. I'm an open book. I know I show people the numbers and, hey, here's how it looks and all those things. And I know I can say that probably about Malcolm as well, that you're an open book to show how that's working for you.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about Real's model is that there's actually multiple streams of income. You know, helping the company grow is like one path for income, but the stock is also another path for income. And at Real, if you earn elite agent status, what we just talked about, you're about to hit that, you can earn up to $24,000 in free stock every single year. That is more than it costs in fees and your cap to be an agent at Real. So most people are actually net profitable when they hit elite agent if they get the full $24,000. Real just announced a new way to earn income as well. We have this new technology, Hey Leo, which is an AI home buying concierge service for clients. And they're actually going to pay agents for us to use this technology because we're actually helping train the AI, and it gives them opportunities to sell ancillary services. So using our own technology, that can be another stream of income into your business. And I think most agents, like if you want to get out of production eventually or just do less production, you need to find additional streams of income. And that can be with a company like Real. It could also be in the form of coaching or lead generation or online course sales, or even just content creation. I have a friend, Christina Smallhorn. She has a huge YouTube channel all about real estate, and she makes a full-time income just on the ads that are played on her videos. So like if you want to get out of production or do less production, start exploring and experimenting and trying to find additional streams of income. And there's you know, probably a dozen that we can name off the top of our heads that you can explore and that people are finding success with.
Yeah, I love that. And Christina Smallhorn was on our podcast a couple pods back, so I encourage you to go listen to Christina. She's a riot for sure. And one thing I will say too is being a part of the company that we're building, you don't have to do the stock. You don't have to be a recruiter or whatever you say. You get the opportunity to, but there's some agents that come in here and they're just like, hey, I just want to be a part of a cool community. I just want the great split and the low cap. You know, so all of those things, you don't have to be a part of it. You can just come here, be a part of the community, make more money just in your split and your low cap. And at the, you know, if that's something you ever want to explore down the road, you have the opportunity to opt into the stock program. You have the opportunity to bring a friend over if they're ever interested in coming join you at the company. And that, it's like a lot of agents hear us wrong and they hear, oh, well, I don't want to come to Real because I don't want to be a recruiter, but you don't have to. Or I don't want to come here and buy stock. Well, you don't have to. You just get the opportunity if that is ever something that you're interested in, having some ownership in the company that you're building. And that's why I participate in the stock, because I want to own what we're building and I believe in what we're building. And it's because I want that ownership that I've never had in the first 18 years of my business. I've built companies to a nice agent count and I've always been there for agents. But I never have any ownership in the company until now. In the last 2 years, I've gotten the chance to have ownership in the company.
And you know what's interesting about that is that I think like it being owned by the agents and the agents having that ownership, it has a big impact on like the culture, on the community, on the quality of the training that we have here. If you're at a traditional brokerage model, what incentive do you have to teach your best tactics to agents in your brokerage that are in your exact market and competing against you? What incentive do you have? None. You have a disincentive, if anything. And at Real, we've won because we're masterminding and networking with agents all around the country. You're what, Louisiana? Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm in Maryland. Like, we can share tactics and strategies and it wouldn't hurt each other's production. But two, like we are both owners in this company, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. And I want to help every agent in this company do as well as they can, because I ultimately benefit from it and everybody else does as well. So like the ownership and the revenue share, I think it has a serious positive incentive and a positive effect on the culture and community that we have here at Real that I never got when I worked at a brokerage and I'm just essentially an employee almost to that broker, or I work underneath of him and there is no ownership besides that one broker who owns everything.
Yeah, it's so true, man. But yeah, well, we blew through 30 minutes, no problem. And I want to be respectful of your time because I know a lot of people want it and I appreciate you spending a little bit of it with us. But I'll give you one more opportunity to speak to an agent right now who is maybe discouraged or maybe they're not having their best year 2024, they squeaked by. I'll give you one more opportunity to just speak to an agent who's feeling a little bit discouraged right now in their business, and then we'll close it out.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing that I find really interesting is like finding unique opportunities in the market. And if you go back to 2020, almost nobody had YouTube channels for real estate agents. And I've seen some people grow some massive businesses over the last 5 years through informational YouTube channels. And a lot of them have seen diminishing returns. Like that opportunity, there's so much more competition now that it's not the same opportunity that it was 5 years ago. And kind of the same thing, you know, with these cloud brokerages is there's a window of opportunity. And I tell you, the window of opportunity right now is these Instagram informational videos. People are doing these breaking news Instagram videos where they're kind of in the corner of the video and they have some images and they're posting one, two, three of these a day, just breaking news in their community. And I'm seeing agents grow these massive followings on Instagram from these things. Tom Ferry's been talking about them, and a lot of agents here at Real are doing these. Bill Olson, if you want to follow him, or Katie yep. May on Instagram, both of them are doing these videos. And so if you're looking for the next big opportunity to build an audience on social media, that is the next big opportunity, that you could be one of the first people in your market to use this strategy, grow a big local following before everybody else kind of catches on to this trend. 5 years from now, every market is going to have four or five, are going to have a dozen different agents using the strategy. But right now, most agent markets have zero agents. So if you're looking for the next big opportunity, like that's what I would say is the big opportunity right now. And go follow Katie Day or Bill Olson to kind of see what kind of Instagram videos I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure. And both of them were also on the podcast. So I encourage you to go back to break down. Bill Olson breaks down his whole strategy, including his email follow-up system on that episode. I will put that link to that episode in the details of this podcast. Katie Day was also on our podcast. She did the same thing. She broke down her strategy that she was using in the infant stages of that strategy, which is really fun to go back and listen to her when she first started Houston Unlocked, that channel that she has now that's now kind of exploded. And it's just a great strategy. I also talked about that in last week's episode of the podcast called Locally Viral, which we talked about how to go locally viral in your community. So Malcolm, I appreciate you bringing that strategy up because I totally agree with you. That is one of the best opportunities I think that we have to be the person that's doing that in our community that can generate leads for themselves on social media. But I also recommend YouTube as well, but that's a little bit more of a commitment, but that's a great strategy. Not a lot of people are using it in our community for sure. So I appreciate you sharing all of that knowledge. And I know we could chat for hours about digital marketing and you could bring nothing but value for the whole time, but I appreciate you bringing the value that you did bring, and I appreciate partnering with you here at a great company and what you're doing to help grow the company. So thanks a million, Malcolm.
Yeah, Jamie, I love collaborating with you, man. I'm great to connect with you, and I look forward to, you know, continuing to collaborate and grow and build with you.
The goal is to just add value. So if you grab some value from this episode, share it with a friend, send it over to somebody, send them a text, you know, do us a huge favor. Give us a 5-star review, you know, give us a good rating on some of these platforms. We're looking to just add nothing but value to agents. So I hope that you guys are enjoying what we're putting out. Every Monday morning, we launch a brand new audio version of this podcast at 5 a.m. on Monday morning. So I hope that you go check us out there. And Malcolm, thanks a million for being on the podcast.
Of course, man.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that you're having a great week, and I hope that you guys have an amazing day.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.